Are we on? Are we fired up? Hey, 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 it is me, Dr. Letitia Webb, and I am the woman who prayed and painted to clear the muddied waters in my marriage and to heal my emotional pain. And then I took that artwork and used it as inspiration to create products such as t-shirts, bomber jackets, sneakers, and now we act journals, coloring books, and now we have the check-in cards, and we are really excited about that. We debuted the check-in cards last week. Our mission is to use urban lingo and abstract black and white art to promote making connections and checking in on your loved ones. It is imperative for us to be aware of mental health and the fact that people go through so much every single day that they would never tell you. And it is imperative that we check in on people. And that's what the check-in cards are for, is to promote mental health, and it is to create connections. You can use our cards to create connections and stay in touch with your loved ones, where it goes from writing a note to creating like a treasured memoir for your loved one. Amen. It is a Thursday. It is leap year. It is February 29th, and we are so grateful for God and who He is. Amen. I wanted to give you guys a heads up that on this Saturday, I'm still going to get on. However, I'm only going to possibly do Facebook Live. Amen. So I'm going to do my best to still get on right at 7 o'clock, but we will only be on Facebook Live. We probably will not be on YouTube Live. I will be en route. I got to do some traveling. Amen. And so just going to give you guys a heads up of what to look out for and to expect on this coming Saturday. Good morning, Terry. How are you? God bless you. She is asking for prayer that her husband Gil will have a successful surgery and a quick recovery today. We are definitely going to lift Gil up in prayer. Amen. All right, so let's do what we came to do, which is to pray, process the devotional today, and God resilient, and pursue God's word. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. We praise you. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for another opportunity. Father God, continue to increase our discernment. Help us, Father God, to continue to have the will to do your will. Help us to seize opportunities. Help us, Father God, to be led by you. We plan our way, but you order and you direct our steps. Lord God, continue to direct our steps. Lead us down paths of righteousness. For thy name's sake, Lord God, we love you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Babe, can you shut the door for me? God bless you. So thank you so very much for your continued faithfulness to God. Amen. For being here in the morning. Amen. So we are still on the topic of kingdom value. Amen. And spiritual capital. You have kingdom value and spiritual capital. Amen. And sometimes we focus so much more on our earthly value and our worldly value and our financial capital, and we don't put as much emphasis on the kingdom value and the spiritual capital. So I am praying that not only, you know, will God give you the revelation that you are valuable and that you have kingdom value, but He will also show you ways on how to increase your kingdom value. Amen. So God is good and He is forever to be praised. And so we started the series of relationship dynamics. Okay? Relationship dynamics. And we took a look at Judges chapter 13 on yesterday regarding Samson. Amen. And the birth of Samson and the relationship dynamics between God, the angel of God, and Samson's parents. Okay. And I think we just had a really good discussion. God revealed some things, but we also just want to continue to highlight Manoah. Amen. And the type of man Manoah was. Manoah is Samson's father. Amen. And it shows his character, trust, and obedience unto the Lord. The way he just interacted the moment his wife told him that a man, shared with him, a man of God came to her. Amen. We are in Judges chapter 13, verse 6. Amen. She says, and then the woman went and told her husband, a man of God came to me and he looked like the awe-inspiring angel of God. I didn't ask him where he came from and he didn't tell me his name. And these are the things that he said to me. And once Manoah heard that, first of all, he had to believe his wife. So that shows the relationship dynamics that Manoah and his wife had. When something occurred, she went to her husband, amen, and she shared it with her husband, and then the husband believed her. That's a relationship dynamic. Now, what if she didn't tell her husband? What if she kept it close to the vest and she didn't like share it with him? Sometimes we do that. We don't, depending on who we are and the circumstances. God bless you, Aunt Hattie. It is so wonderful to see you this morning. God bless you. Oh, thank you, Aunt Hattie. Amen, amen, amen. And so we got to think about how sometimes when you are in a relationship, in some instances, you have some spouses who don't tell each other everything. And we're not judging anyone's relationship. We're not here to do that. We're just speaking truth. So what if Manoah's wife was the type of person where she pondered over something, or, you know, she wanted to seek God herself? There's so many different reasons why people don't tell their spouse things. We're not judging it. It's neither good nor bad. It just is, right? But we see here that that was something that she didn't keep to herself. She didn't keep it close to the vest. She actually shared it, and she shared it with her husband, right? And his response to her was kingdom value. That showed his kingdom value. Because he could have said, oh, woman, you lying. Oh, woman, that didn't happen. Oh, woman, you ain't been able to bear a child, you know, this far. You know, like, what's going to happen? Like, all of a sudden, this is going to happen. Think about it. He could have responded. There are innumerable ways that Manoah's wife could have responded, and the number of ways that Manoah could have responded. But it shows their relationship dynamics. And so because they were open to one another, they believed each other, it increased their kingdom value. Because Manoah, being the type of man that he was, actually prayed to the Lord. And his prayer to the Lord for clarification, amen, and for the Lord to send the man back to them so that they can get instructions. Let's go to verse 8. Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, let the man of God you sent come again and teach us what we should do for the boy who will be born. Think about it. God will honor the prayer. It's like, oh, I sent you a word, and you want to have specific instructions on what to do with the word, excuse me, that I sent you, then God listened to him. So that increased his kingdom value. He believed what his wife said. He prayed to the Lord, extended trust to the Lord, like, hey, God, we received the word, and we want to know what to do with this instance. Amen. Because he did that, God listened. How many of us need God to listen to us? Honey, I need God. I need God to listen to me. It is my life depends on God listening to me. Amen. And so if you need God to listen to you, please put that in the chat. I need God to listen to me. God, and when we see in verse 9, God listened to Manoah. That's some kingdom value right there, child. If you can get God to listen to you and to answer your prayer, amen, that is some kingdom value. Amen. And it's very powerful because even though, and look at this relationship dynamic, it is showing the oneness of marriage. That is the other thing that I want to point out here. That husband and wife team, they were ping ponging back and forth. The angel came to the wife. The wife went to the husband. The husband went to God. Look at the order. The woman submitted to the husband. The husband went to God and submitted to God. God listened to the husband. He didn't send the angel back to the husband. He didn't send the angel to the husband. He sent the angel back to the woman. And then she took off running, honey, okay, and got her husband. And then her husband was able to encounter the angel of the Lord for himself. Amen. Terry and Aunt Hattie says, I need God to listen to me. I know that's right, child. And then Terry says, I need the Lord. Oh, how I need thee every hour. I need the Lord. Amen. So here we see even this order of submission. And I'm not saying that because we don't see this order in other instances in the Bible doesn't mean that those stories were out of order. I'm not saying that, but I just want to highlight the relationship dynamics that brought this couple such kingdom value. Amen. And let's recognize the order of submission. Let's recognize that the man of God prayed to the Lord. Let's recognize that he asked for instructions. Let's recognize that the Lord listened to him. Amen. Let's recognize that. But because we talked about that on yesterday, I want to make sure that we continue on with the lesson. But I just, that was another point that God, you know, is leading us to highlight here. Amen. And then even when the husband started to kind of weaken his faith a little bit, let's go down to Judges chapter 13, verse 21. The angel of the Lord did not appear again to Manoah and his wife. The Manoah realized it was the angel of the Lord. We're certainly going to die, he said to his wife, because we have seen God. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had intended to kill us, we wouldn't have accepted, he wouldn't have accepted the burnt offering and the grain offering from us. And he would not have shown us all of these things or spoken to us like this. Look at that encouragement, you know, at one particular, you know, and that's how it is in a marriage. Look at the relationship dynamics in here. And the kingdom value, they both were men and women of God. The angel came to the wife. The wife recognized it as an angel. She told her husband. Her husband believed her, prayed to the Lord. Lord, we want instructions on what to do with the boy. God listened, sent the angel back. The angel went back to the woman. The woman ran and got her husband. They talked. The husband wanted to honor and wanted to have dinner, okay? But of course, he didn't know that he was an angel. The angels don't eat food. So the angel was like, look, give an offering unto the Lord, worship the Lord. Manoah was obedient to that, set up an offering, and then boom, he's like, oh my God, we're certainly going to die. At that moment, his faith was weakened. Doesn't that happen? You can be right there, boom, 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 and then your faith will become weak. Your faith will shake. Something will happen. And then you need somebody to be like, no, baby, we good. No, don't forget. God would not do that. God is not going to take us through all of this. God's not going to send the angel of the Lord. God is not going to give us instructions. God is not going to answer your prayer. Send the angel back. God is not going to do all of this for us to die. That's a very different response. God bless you, Deacon Johnson. It's wonderful to see you. That's a very different response than Job's wife. Think about it. When Job went through what he went through, his wife was like, child, you need to go on and curse God and die. But again, that's a different situation because just like Job lost, his wife lost. And a lot of times we get on Job's wife. But how come we don't have empathy towards Job's wife? That woman lost her children. It wasn't just Job who lost. Hello? She lost as well. And when you lose that much back to back to back, my God. You lose all your children, all your wealth. I think they lost their servants too. It was one loss after the other. I'm not saying it was right or wrong. But what I'm saying is, how come we don't recognize that Job's wife was grieving, that Job's wife lost? But we see here, even though it's two different circumstances, two very different circumstances, we see still two different responses when the husband's faith weakened. And here, when the husband's faith weakened in that moment, the wife was right there to encourage him. She was right there to say, no, baby, no, boo, no. God not going to take us through all of this to die, to leave us, to kill us. He's not going to do that. And may we be that type of spouse and have that type of relationship dynamic that we encourage one another. That ability to encourage someone whose faith may waver or whose faith gets weakened in a moment. Can you imagine standing there, like, come on, these are real people. Can you imagine you're standing there, you're talking to this man. Then all of a sudden, he jumps into the fire and he goes up in the fire. And then you realize oh, okay, that was not a real person. That was show enough, an angel of the Lord. How you gonna respond to that? You gonna be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Some of us get deer, in headlight situation, we just get stunned. We don't say anything. Innumerable responses. If you see someone just jump in the fire and they just evaporate in front of you. You know, we forget, what if that was us? What is our response? Would our faith get weakened? Would we be in awe? Would we fear? What would happen to us if that occurred right in front of our eyes? But thank God that Manoah's wife was a woman of God, and she was able to encourage him in that moment and to remind him, no, we have an assignment. No, God chose us. No, God wouldn't take us through all of this just to kill us. No, 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 no. Amen. So, I know we did not exhaust all of the relationship dynamics that we could pick out in this passage of scripture, but show enough, honey, God showed us some stuff. So Unhattie says, thank you for the insight. I never thought about her loss, just Job's response to her comments. I know. And a lot, like I said, we call them stories in the Bible. I'm like, these are more than just stories. These are real people. Real people. And we forget that they were real people with real feelings and real situations and real fear and real doubt. And I mean, just real. It was real. And we have a tendency to forget that because we're so far removed from the time and the culture. And it's for sometimes we hear the story over and over and over again. And depending on how the preacher or the minister frames the story, which is not a good or bad. Again, we're not right or wrong. It's just what it is, how they frame the story based on the message that they're trying to get across. You know, we pick up on certain things and we miss other things. Amen. But, you know, in the state of empathy, we have to, you know, sometimes we don't exercise empathy with the people in the Bible. Like, we just so quick, and we never ask ourselves, if that was me, if I was Job's wife, if I was Job, if I was Manoah, if I was Manoah's wife, how would I respond? Amen. And if we can start putting ourselves in the story and really think about it like, oh man, this was real. Amen. All right, y'all. So those are the relationship dynamics between Samson's parents. We haven't even gotten to Samson. We just setting it up. Amen. And his parents. So we see in Judges 13, chapter 24. Judges 13, verse 24. So the woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson. The boy grew and the Lord blessed him. Amen. Then the spirit of the Lord began to stir him in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Okay. And you guys don't forget, I read in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. So now we are in chapter 14. Whew, honey, we're going to take our time with this. It's going to be some aspects we're going to pull out, and it's going to be some aspects we're going to leave alone. But you got to remember, the topic is kingdom value and relationship dynamics. So let's focus and zone in on how the relationship dynamics increase or decrease or impact the kingdom value. Amen. So let's read Judges chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a young Philistine woman there. He went back and told his father and mother, "I have seen a young Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as a wife." How does it open up? We don't hear nothing about his childhood. We don't hear anything about, like, it opened up. Oh, honey, he saw a Philistine woman. Now, you know, we are not supposed to be co-mingling with the Philistines. You can't find no Israelite woman. But child, we ain't gonna go. We're gonna take it line by line. Verse 3, okay? But his father and mother said to him, "Can't you find a young woman among your relatives or among any of your people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines?" My God. "Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines for a wife?" We see here Samson's struggle. It is just so amazing that the way it's laid out here, we miss all the formative years. All we know is that, okay, he's going to grow up as an Israelite. He's not going to cut his hair. He's dedicated to God. But we like, we're introduced to Samson, like, the man. And the first thing we learn about him is that he went down to Timnah and saw a young Philistine woman there. What is God trying to share with us about Samson? Samson had a flesh. Remember, we talked about there is nothing that's in the world but the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Samson saw this woman and he wanted her. It's like, did you not think about, like, who she was, her people? And then he, like, came home and he, like, demanded his mother and his father to get her. What's going on with you, Samson? I ain't judging. I can only go by what I see here. But what's going on with you? So now we're still in verse 3. Amen. So it's like, must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines for a wife? But Samson told his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. How do you know? So, okay. Verse 4. Now his father and mother did not know this was from the Lord. You see what happened? I did not keep reading. I was just judging based on the words. And we got to be very careful, because sometimes we see things and we don't understand them and we be quick to judge. Oh, that ain't God. Oh, that ain't God. Oh, that's his flesh. Oh, that's this. Oh, that's that. Oh, blah, 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 blah. His parents did not know that God put that in him. This was from the Lord, who wanted the Philistines to provide an opportunity for a confrontation. At that time, the Philistines were ruling Israel. God's whole goal for Israel was for them to be a free, independent nation who served the Lord thy God. He called them out. He chose them. You are to be my people. You are to serve me. You are not to serve any other gods. He didn't even want them to have a king. He's like, I'm your king. I'm your ruler. Don't look at these other nations and how they do it. They worship man. They worship idols. They carve wood and stone and all, and make these figures. I don't want you to do any of that. We have a theocracy. I'm your king. My husband says, William went before all things work for the good. Yes, man of God. And so what I'm saying here is sometimes, and I did that purposefully, we are so quick to judge because it doesn't line up with what we think. We only go by what we see, or we don't stick around long enough, or we don't read enough to understand. God bless you, cuz it's wonderful to see you. Or we don't understand. Be careful not to be so quick to judge. Like, oh, why he want this Philistine woman? Oh. But we already know that God was going to use him to save Israel from the power of the Philistines. God was going to use Samson. So God had to put this desire in Samson's heart to see this Philistine woman, to want this Philistine woman. My husband says, that's really good insight. I appreciate that. Let me know what you're getting out of it. What aspect of it was good and insightful. Amen. Thank you, man of God. And so it's just like, God had to put that desire in him to be attracted to this Philistine woman. Samson had a specific assignment on his life. And if you don't understand people's specific assignment, we have a tendency to judge them because we don't understand their story. We don't understand what God is doing. And then we short stop the situation. We don't read the whole chapter. We don't stick around long enough to see what's going on in a person's life. Amen. So now let's continue. We are in Judges chapter 14, verse 5. Samson went down to Timnah, and his father and mother and came, went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Suddenly, a young lion came roaring at him. The spirit of the Lord came powerfully on him, and he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Very interesting. Then he went and spoke to the woman because she seemed right to Samson. My husband says, sometimes what is good for you doesn't feel good. Amen. Now look at this. It's just very interesting how this story is unfolding. He goes down to Timnah. He sees this Philistine woman. He wants her. He goes to his parents. His parents is like, now why would you want this woman? There's a lot of Israelite women. But okay, he insisted. He's like, no, get her for me. So then they travel down to Timnah. Now, while they're in Timnah, God is telling the story and unfolding the story because a young lion comes out. We recognize that it's the spirit of the living God that becomes on Samson to give him the strength to overpower this lion. Amen. God wants us to see that if you're going to do anything extraordinary, if you're going to do anything out of the ordinary, if you're going to do anything extraordinary, it is going to be because the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. God will get the glory out of our lives. But then the other component is it a part of your kingdom assignment? Sometimes we want to do great feats, but it ain't got nothing to do with the assignment that God has on our lives. We want to go left, but God is telling us to go right. We keep going left, but we don't get, what we want when we go left. Left may not be the direction that God wants us to go. Left may not give us that extraordinary superpower anointing of God. If we want that, then we need to go right and follow God's way. I don't even know if Samson really understood the assignment on his life. And sometimes we don't understand the assignment on our lives and why we have to go in certain directions. But if we keep following God, because it also says here, don't miss this. It says, if when you look at verse 7, then he, who is we, Samson, went and spoke to the woman because she seemed right to Samson. She seemed right. So let's continue. Verse 8. After some time, when he returned to marry her, he left the road to see the lion's carcass, and there was a swarm of bees with honey in the carcass. He scooped some honey into his hands and ate it as he went along. When he came to his mother and father, he gave some to them and they ate it. But he didn't tell them that he had scooped the honey from the lion's carcass. Now, what's going on with Samson? He does these things, but he doesn't communicate with his parents, like what's going on. He didn't tell anybody about the lion and how he tore the lion to pieces. He didn't tell his family about that. I'm sorry. If a lion comes at me and God gives me the strength to kill this lion, I'm like, how do I keep that to myself? And again, we're not talking about right or wrong. We're just looking at relationship dynamics here. He didn't tell his parents. So then he sees this lion. Now, we're not even going to get into, like, this is a dead carcass that you killed, and you're going to scoop honey out of this dead carcass and eat it and then give it to somebody else. And not just somebody on the street, but you're going to give it to your parents. And you don't even tell your people where you got it from, and you're going to feed it to them. We're not even going to touch that aspect of what's going on here. But I just wanted to make that point. Like, what does that mean? You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm sorry. Don't give me anything out of a dead carcass that you killed, that you didn't even tell me that you killed it. Like, and again, not right or wrong. We're just highlighting some things in the word. Amen. We're just looking at the relationship dynamics. Amen. So now we're going to wrap up. We're going to read one more verse of scripture. So in verse 10, his father went to visit the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, as young men were accustomed to do. When the Philistines saw him, they brought 30 men to accompany him. Verse 12, let me tell you a riddle. Now, okay, no, we're going to stop right there because I don't want to get into the riddle because that's a whole nother lesson. Amen. So here we see the stage is set up. Okay. God is introducing us to Samson. We see that Samson has an affinity towards Philistine women. What we learned is God gave this attraction to him. Amen. Because God had an ultimate plan for Samson's life, which was to begin to save Israel from the power of the Philistines. God needed a door. Remember, God works through people. Amen. That's what we got to do. God works through people. So he put that in Samson because there needed to be an entryway. There needed to be a door. The Philistines were ruling over Israel at that time. That's not God's will for Israel to be ruled by an idol worshiping nation, an uncircumcised, unclean, barbaric nation. That's definitely not what God wanted for his people. Amen. And that's definitely not what God wants from us. Amen. So he put that desire and that attraction for Philistine in Samson. He needed someone who like had an affinity. Amen. He needed that because God is setting up the stage. All right. I hope y'all got something out of this. I haven't heard from a whole lot of y'all. Tell me if you're on YouTube Live, Facebook Live. Tell me, was it something about the story today that you got or that triggered you or that brought some insight? I would love to hear from you. Amen. Talk to me. Talk to me. You guys were quiet today. Amen. I know Aunt Hattie said she never thought about how Job's wife was in grief. She was grieving as well. You know, anybody else? Any thoughts, revelations, insights, anything? God bless you. Amen. You guys are quiet today. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I love you, cuz. I love you, too. Thank you so much. Elder Zeddy on YouTube Live says, it was so awesome. I could only listen. Well, praise God. I appreciate that. I appreciate that so much. Was there anything? Amen, amen. Let me know if there was one thing that you got that stood out. Like, because when you guys share with me, I be getting stuff. Deacon Johnson says the same thing. He says, I received all of it, a lot of insight. Amen. Thank you. Oh, my husband says, Dr. William Winterforth, God always has a plan. Ooh, okay. That is, yeah. God has a plan, right? Because, you know, he specifically had Samson and brought Samson into this three-dimensional realm for a very specific reason. Very specific. It was to start to save Israelites from the Philistines who were ruling over them. And God's ways and thoughts are so much higher than ours. Even though we understood that that was the plan in chapter 13, the plan starts to unfold in chapter 14, but the way it starts off shady. And sometimes that's how our life is. It starts off shady. Like, we don't hear anything until, oh, he went down to Timnah and he looked at this Philistine woman and he wanted her. That is shady, y'all. But it was a part of God's plan. We got to be careful when we, like, look at people with that side eye because we don't understand what's going on in their lives. And I get it. You know what I mean? We're people. God said that we are to judge things, not judge people, but to judge and have discernment of situations. You know what I mean? We have to do that, but we gotta be careful. And then sometimes we do too much of this instead of keeping our mouth shut to let God play out this situation. Amen. My husband says it started off chaotic. Amen. Deacon Johnson says, for me, it's how God uses people to fulfill his will. He uses all different types of people. And he used a man that he anointed with this extraordinary strength to kill a lion with his bare hands. But that same man had an affinity for the women in the enemy's camp. And you want to be like, well, God, could it have been any other way? I'd be asking God, could it have been any other way you could have did this? Why did you use that component? Why, you know what I mean? It's like, why did you make it where he had like this, you know, this desire for women in this culture that wasn't his and who did not love his culture? Like, you don't, like, the Philistines didn't love God's people. They didn't love Israel at all. And you want to go over there and get you a woman from over there? And we got all of these beautiful women over here. Like, why would you do that? But it was part of God's plan, man. We got to let God be God. We really do. If we see stuff, let's just pray. Until God gives us the light, until God gives us the insight, let's just pray when we see stuff. Let's just stop. speaking on it. You know what I mean? Because we don't know all of God's will. And we know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we know in part and we prophesy in part. We're not going to fully know until the one who fully knows comes, and then we will fully know him as he fully knows us. Until then, everything that we know, everything that we see is in part. We don't have the full story. We don't have the full revelation. We got to stop being Holy Ghost Junior. We got to stop being quick to judge. And we just got to let things play out. Our job is to pray and to be obedient and only move and only speak when God tells us to. Amen. So I am praying that you, again, thank y'all so much for those who responded and the revelation that you got. I want to make sure we lift up Gil, Terry's husband. Gil and Terry Wheeler are faithful. Amen. To the God Resilient community. They come on every morning. Some of you guys know Terry is my best friend. And so her husband is having surgery today. Amen. And so we just want to lift up Brother Gil, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Go before Gil. Father God, guide and lead every single person from the registrar to the nurse to the person who's preparing the food, to the doctor, to the surgeon, to the post-op staff, to those on the floor in the recovery unit, every single person, oh Father God, we ask that you will anoint them, oh Father God, and that you will give Gil favor with the people, oh Father God, and that you will guide their hands. You are the healer, you are the surgeon, and that there will be recovery for Gil, that you will strengthen his body, oh Father God, that you will give Terry the peace that she needs as her husband is going through this procedure, Lord God, that he will come out healed and whole and praising your holy name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. All right, so we got Unhattie who says, Facebook ministers never teach or minister both sides, mostly concentrate on one side. Ooh, Unhattie, thank you. I learned and was like, you got to have a balanced word. Amen. Yeah, and I prayed to the Lord, and I haven't prayed that prayer in a long time. So thank you, Aunt Hattie. That reminds me, I want to bring that before the Lord again, that when I preach God's word, that I bring a balanced word. Amen. The way that he wants me to balance it, because there's no way God is so phenomenal and we can't, you know, fathom and obtain who God is, but in the best way that I can, that I will bring a balanced word to God's people. Amen. So thank you so much, Aunt Hattie, for recognizing that. I'm going to incorporate that again back into my prayers. All right, y'all. I love you. Now, don't forget, on Saturday, I'm going to be on the move Saturday morning. So I may not be able to hop on YouTube. YouTube, please find me on Facebook, Letitia Webb, okay? Find me on Facebook, friends me, follow me. So on Saturday, you can hop on Facebook because I'm going to be shucking and jiving and moving. I'm going back to the hood flea market to sell the check-in cards. And when I got there last week, it was really, really late. And so I do not want to not be faithful to God Resilient. So we just got to make some adjustments, okay? And that's what we're going to do on Saturday. So I'm preparing. I probably won't even record on the podcast. So YouTube, please hop over to Facebook just for Saturday. All right, y'all. I love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. God bless you. Amen. Have a wonderful day. Mwah. I love you.